In Ephesians 2:1, Paul describes the Ephesians' pre-conversion experiences. What might go missing in our lives if we don't have that kind of dramatic conversion experience? Welcome to The Good Word. I'm your host, Alden Thompson, Professor Emeritus in Biblical Studies from Walla Walla University. My conversation partners are John McVeigh, President of Walla Walla University, and Brant Berglund, member of the WWU School of Theology. Both he and John McVeigh are New Testament scholars. Indeed, John McVeigh has steeped himself in the study of Ephesians, focusing on that Pauline epistle for his doctoral studies at the University of Sheffield in England. McVeigh is also the author of the official adult study guide known in Adventist circles as the Quarterly. But in a sense, in this quarter, we are plowing new ground because heretofore, the host has always been author of the study guide. But in this case, Dr. McVeigh, whom I shall sometimes simply address as John, has not only written the Quarterly and the Pacific Press companion book, but he's also put together a rather monumental study guide, which is available online for your personal use. Now, let's go to that leading question and talk about conversion experiences.
Yeah, so if we don't have the kind of vivid paganism to Christian faith sort of journey that these believers in Ephesus have, what might we miss out on? Is that a summary of the question,
yep,
Alden?
That's fair.
Okay. Well, I'm glad Brant's going to answer that for us.
It's interesting because just last night I had supper with a young lady that was a member of the area here and has now graduated and moved on, but was talking about this very issue. And she said, you know, as a Christian, I've grown up with it all my life, and I haven't had a dramatic conversion experience. She says, I'm trying to figure out how do I share the gospel with people who are in a world that I never knew, to find a Jesus that I think I know, but they'll have an experience that I have never resonated with. And she's really asking this question, what is conversion like for somebody who's grown up already with it? Well, we have a clear understanding that the Ephesians were from a world who knew very little originally about Judaism, perhaps, and certainly less about the Messiah until they came to know Christ. And now their lives are completely different, right, John?
Right.
Completely
right.
Different.
The passage, though, is fascinating in that Paul does draw all of us into a common spiritual experience.
We were all there.
Yeah, so he starts out with, you were dead.
Yep.
But then he switches persons, verse 3, among whom we once lived.
That's right.
Everybody. So there's an obvious difference. We haven't all had the pagan to Christian trajectory in our lives.
Or the Pauline experience on the
road to Damascus.
On the road to Damascus.
Right. Sure, yeah.
Right. But there is some commonality here in that we were all once, powerful phrase that he uses here, children of wrath. We were all once children of wrath. And then you come to those great two words. Someone has called them the grandest two words in the English language, but God.
But God.
Right? But God. And so we can all trace, whatever our biography, we can trace God's activity in our lives and his intervention on our behalf.
Well, here locally, I don't know how many, whether Brant or either you or John, would remember when Dave Thomas and Carl Cosart told their respective stories in a chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite amazing because Dave grew up stable, never had a rebellious thought his whole life, whereas Carl really had a wild ride.
Yes, I've heard that chapel talk twice,
and
it was impressive both times to me.
Yeah.
And part of it is just the grand diversity of the two experiences,
sure.
But then comes that commonality, too, that you hear them address in bringing their lives and their hearts to the foot of an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just possible that those of us who have grown up in a Christian environment don't realize quite the depths of sin. And our need for a Savior is commensurate with our doctrine and understanding of just how much we need to be changed into Christ's image. And if we had a sense of that, maybe we'd appreciate the gospel a bit more.
Well, Dave once told me, he said, you've had a remarkable experience of the goodness of God, and now you are deepening your experience of the sinfulness of man.
Mm. Mm.
And I suppose that's the case. To use Adventist jargon, my experience is very Johannine, very Maxwellian.
Mm-hmm.
very gentle. Mm-hmm.
Drawn by the love and grace of Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing, though. Once I thought my path was the right path. And then I began to hear people talk about finding God in quite different ways. And conversation with John Dibdall is a classic example. Because what had happened was with Des Ford, who's also the Aussie Adventist, who's well known in some Adventist circles, he said, you know, it's not right to do to John what Brinsmead or Ford, these are Adventist names, do to John. And immediately Dibdall came back and he says, and it's not fair to do to Romans what Maxwell does to Romans.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, it was as if scales had fallen from our eyes. And we're both trained in the Old Testament. Now we can have our yes, but conversations and not read each other out of the church. And I think for me, that is terribly important. Diversity is very difficult for conservatives. But if you are aware of what's in Scripture, it's all over the place. And we need to be aware of the fact. And of course, as we work more with the Pauline letters, we get a lot of that as well. Under the heading of original sin, and I think that's a portion that you dealt with in this particular lesson. In fact, you had an excursus on it in the study guide. You pick up the comments as found in chapter 2, 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit which is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest of, we were by nature deserving wrath. Now, I'm wondering, John, is this the most logical place in Scripture to discuss original sin?
Probably. I mean, we could go to Romans 1, yeah. Romans 1 to 3. Yeah. But in terms of short compass in a tight mm-hmm. statement, this would probably be it.
But it's to clarify, John, it's not original sin in the sense that Adam sinned and we're all guilty for it?
It's not so much a question of guilt per se, though one has to be really careful here because, you know, Adventism's had an interesting history with this concept, and sometimes we've only thought about sin little s, meaning that I drank too much hot chocolate yesterday or something, and have not understood that there is this powerful dynamic of sin, capital S, that is rooted in and grounded in the human experience yeah. and which remains active even when we're converted as a force in our lives. It doesn't need to be a dominating force if we follow Paul's argument in, for example, Ephesians chapter 4, but it's there. We have a natural bent away from God and toward sin. And that's the sort of thing we mean here by original sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it can be construed in all sorts of ways. But the fact here is that Ephesians 2 seems to be pointing toward that nature we possess of being bent away from God, that natural nature, human nature of being bent away from God and toward sin.
And when I see Jesus in the Gospels, I see a difference then in how he related in his daily life and how I relate to temptation. Mm-hmm. My Bible translation says here that we did what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us were in the same boat, right? I look at Jesus and that's not how he lived. And so there's this distinction, right, between the way Jesus acted
sure.
and my natural tendency. My goal then is to become like Christ, where my natural tendency is to walk the way he did, naturally.
And we have to understand that this grim description of verses 1 to 3 is part of the pre-conversion description in Paul's sketch here. And then we have those words, but God. And then to just kind of summarize what he does, it's amazing, isn't it? Somehow, in ways that we can ponder and continue to ponder probably throughout the ages, we get so tied up with Jesus. We're so tight with him that what has happened to him happens to us. He was dead and resurrected. We were dead in sin and raised. He was raised up into heavenly places, and we are raised up into heavenly places.
Yep.
And he was exalted and seated on the throne of the cosmos, and we're seated beside him
with
on
him.
His throne. Now, this is like just the grandest possible of news, and it's really kind of hard to digest, isn't it, and to live into and say, wow. But from this experience of the mastery of sin and Satan over our lives, we are now invited into the wonders of his grace. Mm-hmm. And the good stuff that happened to Jesus is part of our experience in some wondrous way.
It's the ultimate rags to riches story from separation from God to being invested in his embrace, drawn in to his love. Yeah.
But there are mysteries about Jesus' life I wish I knew more about.
Mm.
You know, the Gospels are full of passages where it says Jesus spent all night in prayer. Or get up early in the morning, see. Well, he doesn't tell us.
How did he structure that time?
Yeah.
How did he stay awake when he was so exhausted?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's very, while it's, I think, important to look at the story of Jesus, I think there are certain aspects that are dangerous if we're not careful. But I think I will resist the temptation to explore that further at this point because our time is just about up. Today we explored how the book of Ephesians presents God's rescue plan for humanity. I want to thank our participants, John McVeigh and Pratt Berglund, my conversation partners, and Kristen Byerly, our program engineer. A grateful TY to each of you for listening in. For the good word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.